Welcome to the Food and Farming podcast from AHDB, keeping levy payers informed and at the heart of the conversation.
Hello, welcome to the Food and Farming podcast from AHDB. AHDB are encouraging levy payers to have their say and shape the future of the organisation. Levy payers have until noon on the 31st of March to register online, and then during April till the 9th of May, levy payers can show what they believe are the priorities, or at least what the priorities should be for the levy board for the next 5 years. I'm John Bates, and Tim Rycroft, AHDB's Chief Executive, is joining us to talk about his first 6 months in the job and how the next 6 months are shaping up. Hi Tim, thanks for coming on the podcast again.
Hi John.
We've got some questions for you from levy payers and a few from me. So I'll start, if I may. Why do you think it's important for levy payers to get involved with the Shape the Future campaign?
I think it's critical that levy payers are telling us how they want us to invest their levy money. The levy is taken from everyone. Nobody gets a choice over that, but they do get a choice over how we invest it. And through this vote, they will really, for the first time, have an opportunity to tell us in a way that we've never had access to before, what are the things that we do that they value, where are the areas where they want to see us invest more, and what are the big issues in their sector that we should be focusing on. And I think it's so important that as we go ahead to make those funding decisions later this year, that we do so as well informed as we can be of what levy payers really want us to do.
So do you think that the proposals go far enough? You know, we hear comments in the sidelines which suggest that it's more about AHDB than it is about levy payers.
Well, I think that's looking at it through the wrong end of the telescope, if I'm honest, because we are putting levy payers at the heart of everything we do, which sounds a bit like a corporate slogan. But the fact is that that is actually a description of the changes that we're making to our organisation. And they are far-reaching. So not only, of course, are we doing the consultative vote in April, but we are changing the way that we've structured the organisation. We have completely reviewed the way that we look at our own work, the work streams, as we now call them, that we provide to levy payers. In order to make clear decisions about funding, we've had to be much more transparent about the cost of providing those services so that our sector councils can make those decisions on the basis of a clear understanding of what cost it is to provide them. We're changing the culture of this organisation. We've changed the shape of it. So I think to say this doesn't go far enough really misses the point. Actually, we're changing everything.
Some are worried that the registration process is complicated. Here's a question from James.
My name is James Herrick and I'm a beef and arable farmer from Leicestershire. My question is, why do I have to register to vote for each separate sector?
Well, I accept that for those who are represented in more than one sector, they will have to register separately for each sector. And I do understand that that is a small faff. The registration process, I am told, and I've watched people do it, only takes 3 or 4 minutes in each case. As we go forward and we consult levy payers again in the future, we'll fix that. But we just didn't have time this time in order to sort that out, because we needed to get out quickly to ask levy payers their opinion. And I really encourage them not to be put off by that. Have a say on each of the sectors for which you pay a levy.
Now, some levy payers also refer back to when George Eustace, the Secretary of State, made the announcement that a vote would be coming up for levy payers. And they're interpreting what he said suggested that there was going to be a yes or no vote. Why is that not the case?
Well, the rules around triggering of a yes or no ballot remain exactly as they were. So if 5% of levy payers in any sector write to the Secretary of State in a 3-month period requesting a yes or no ballot, they can have one. We felt it wasn't appropriate for us as AHDB to call a ballot on our own future. That's really a decision that must rest between the industry and DEFRA. We are fulfilling George Eustace's promise to give the 4 remaining sectors a vote, and that vote will be about the services that we provide and whether we're focused on the right issues. I think that's the right thing for us to ask, but nothing about that prejudices the power of the sectors, if they choose to do so, to have a yes-no ballot.
The relevance of AHDB and, of course, the value that it delivers are two questions that are always there. We've got a question now from Bridget Well.
Hi, I'm Bridget Well. We're dairy farmers from Cornwall. We do some beef as well. What my thoughts have been recently is, how did we get where we are? Is it because people are not listening, or is it because nobody really knows what the HDB is about and what we, you know, setting our expectations? Why have we got to this point where things have gone so terribly wrong?
Well, I think there is some truth in both of those things, if I'm honest. I think we lost the ballots in horticulture and potatoes because we'd fallen out of touch with levy payer sentiment in those two sectors. And although we tried to change, I don't think we changed fast enough. And I also think that because we weren't in touch with levy payer sentiment, we didn't properly understand what the levy payers wanted from us. And that's, of course, why we're putting this consultative vote at the heart of the changes we're making, because we can never again afford to be out of touch with what levy payers think. And I think as we look forward, we have to build an organisation which is institutionally in touch with levy payers. It's so important to us that we should never find ourselves again in that position, which is why we're making such profound changes, of which the vote is at the centre, but a whole series of changes that I talked about earlier are also driven by that importance of putting levy payers first.
You're listening to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB. I'm talking to Tim Rycroft, the Chief Executive of AHDB, and he's speaking frankly. Thanks for listening. So Tim, what involvement do processors have in AHDB and the drawing together of the relationship between the levy board and the levy payer?
Processors are, of course, important in all the sectors that we represent, and as is the wider supply chain. And of course, we do take a levy from processors, a smaller levy than we take from producers. But the role of processors is really a symbiotic one with producers. You know, in many cases, producers can't market their products without the support of processors. And yet what's interesting is that in each of the sectors, that relationship is a little bit different, both in the sort of market structure and in the commercial terms on which it happens, and in the options about who the ultimate end consumer is. So yes, we do of course have relations with processors, and they are represented on our sector councils, and they will get a vote as well, in the same way that producer levy payers will. Everyone who pays a levy will get to have their say. The votes will be reported back both on a one levy payer, one vote, and on a segmented basis. So the sector councils will be able to see what the larger and the smaller voices were saying. And I think that's an important part of the calculation. But I think part of our job is really to help all our levy payers understand the wider supply chain and to make the most of the opportunities that supply chain cooperation can offer.
Ian Norbury's got a question.
Ian Norbury, beef suckler farmer from the Northwest. My question would be, how are you going to engage a younger generation of farmer coming through? For instance, I have a young workforce that's just started agricultural college, and he's portraying back to me that a lot of the younger people on his course don't know very much about AHDB or very little about what they actually do. So how are you going to tackle that going forward?
I think we've done a pretty terrible job in the past, if I'm honest, of claiming credit for some of the amazing work that we've done. We've not been particularly pushy about putting our name on things. We've been a bit shy about sometimes saying, well, that was our work. We've been happy to kind of operate a little bit behind the scenes. And I think that has to change going forward. I think we need to be more proud and confident of the work we do. It's always amusing to me when I talk to farmers that every so often I still come across one who talks about the Meat and Livestock Commission or the Homegrown Cereals Authority, and 15 years after AHDB was established hasn't completely clocked the fact that those organisations no longer exist. And you know, that's our failure to some extent to really explain what I describe as the sort of unique niche that I think we occupy in that network of organisations that support farmers. And particularly to the point of younger farmers, you know, I think we're helped by the fact that although it's a bit of a generalisation, they tend to be more tech savvy, they tend to be more digitally connected. That gives us more opportunities through things like social media to communicate better about what we're doing. But actually, I do think at the heart of this is simply us being prouder and more confident and a little bit more bullish about putting our name to our successes.
Richard Smart now asks a question.
Hello, Richard Smart, mixed farmer from Worcestershire. Why do you not know how many levy payers you have and have no idea what percentage you need to get in total?
Well, it's a very fair question, and I have to say that quite early on in the recruitment process, when I asked how many levy payers there were and I wasn't able to be given an answer, I was pretty surprised myself. But of course, the fact is that in many cases, the levy is collected by processors and aggregated and then passed on to us as a lump without passing on to us the individual details of who has paid the levy. So although we do know actually who quite a lot of our levy payers are, we have good relationships with them and they use a lot of our information and they sign up for newsletters and all that sort of thing, the fact is that we don't know who all of them are, and clearly, given that we want to hear from all of them, we want to give them all the chance to register to vote and then to have their say, that's why we have to ask them to register.
There have been many comments in the media and on social media channels asking why registration numbers are so low. Why do you think that is?
I think there's a number of reasons. I'm told frequently by people who know this industry a lot better than I do that farmers are famously last minute about things, and that it's only when the deadline looms that they might be motivated finally to fill it in. I hope that's the case. I think if you look at any kind of consultative exercise in the world of agriculture, it is hard to get farmers to engage, and whether that's just a sort of deep-seated scepticism about things, I don't know. I think you'd have to be honest and say that given the recent history of AHDB, it's quite likely that there are some levy payers who are sceptical about whether we will change and whether this exercise is real and whether it's meaningful. And all I can do is to promise them that it is and to say that every vote will count. And as we go forward and as it becomes clearer to levy payers that it is meaningful and that we will act on what they tell us, I think we'll get a better response as we continue to do these sort of consultative exercises going forward. So having said all that, while the number is low in some ways, it's also encouragingly high in other ways, because thousands of farmers have registered. And that means that we're going to hear from thousands of farmers and levy payers who previously we never heard from. So from one end of the telescope, it's actually a lot better in some ways than I was hoping for. But of course, I want it to be as high as it possibly can be when we close registration on March 31st.
Okay, and then just more broadly, while I've got you, in the last few weeks, you've been out and about, including at the AHDB-hosted AgriLeader event. What impressed you most about going there?
Well, first of all, of course, it was lovely to be at an event with people. What I'm told is now called a 3D event. So instead of staring at a screen, I was actually in the presence of humans, and that was just lovely in itself. AgriLeader was a very well-organised event. It's about leadership development, and it's something that I think we've got a particular strength in. So it was a day and a half of very inspirational speakers talking about their own leadership, talking about how to develop leadership, talking about some of the challenges and dilemmas of leadership. And for me, first of all, I was very impressed that it was very well run. I thought it was beautifully put together and very well executed, with over 100 impressive people who had turned up. And secondly, I think that to focus on something like leadership, which is maybe not a traditional subject for an agricultural event, is a brilliant thing to be thinking about. You know, everybody who works in agriculture actually does want to develop their leadership, does want to get better, whether it's about managing people or managing assets or about thinking about their farm strategy, or if they're a processor, about some of those bigger issues around building their margins and growing market share. And in order to be good at that stuff, you have to not only be good functionally, you have to be a good leader. And I'm proud of the fact that we are investing in leadership skills, and I really enjoyed it personally. I mean, I wasn't just there as some sort of figurehead. I was there to take part, and I massively benefited from it. And I'm very proud that we're doing it.
We're recording this in your office at Stoneleigh, so we too are face-to-face, which
real.
That makes a change. And you've just come back also from the NFU conference. The Secretary of State, George Eustace, was at the conference. Minister Victoria Prentice and MP Neil Parish, they all went along. Did you meet them, and what did you discuss?
I did meet Victoria Prentice, and we had a very good chat. She was kind enough. First thing she said to me was to thank me for the letter I wrote to Oxfordshire County Council. giving them some information to think about on their decision potentially to serve only vegan plant-based meals at council events. So she was grateful to me for that. We had a good chat about We Eat Balanced and the work to defend meat and dairy and how important that is. And she is an incredibly enthusiastic supporter of UK agriculture. She's a very energising person to meet, so that was terrific. I did meet Neil Parrish, who spoke at the livestock breakout, which was became so much of an advert for AHDB services that I was almost embarrassed sitting in the audience, because by the time we talked about our work on exports and our work on genetics and We Eat Balanced and research, you know, it almost felt like it had been a fix, which I can assure you it wasn't. But I was genuinely thrilled actually to hear that we're making a big difference in that sector, and a lot of people talked about that, and that was very encouraging. I didn't get to meet George Eustace, sadly, but I was there, of course, for his speech, and I think that, you know, DEFRA have been terrific partners to us, very supportive of us, as particularly as we've gone through our change programme and as we start to shape the organisation for our own future. And I know that George has been a supporter of that as well, so I am looking forward to meeting him face to face. I'm hoping that will happen quite soon.
And just finally, the first 6 months obviously have seen some challenges for you. How do you see the next 6 months for you and, of course, for the staff?
Yeah, it definitely was tough the first few months. I think opening the registration portal in December was an important moment, because it enabled us to start talking about the future and to start talking about levy payers, whereas we'd spent most of the previous year really talking about ourselves. And that was an important milestone, I think. And I think all the staff were relieved and pleased to get to the point where we were back focused on levy payers. Some of the changes that we've been through are starting to bear fruit now, particularly, I think, the impact of people in the organisation, where people have stepped up in their existing roles, people have been promoted in some cases, we've brought in new talent from outside, and all of those things are making a difference, I can see, to the organisation. We've still got a lot of change to do, and I don't think we'll really be out of the world of change this calendar year. But we are now laying the foundations for a different organisation, which is much more focused on levy payers, which is much more focused on the things that we do brilliantly and doing them brilliantly. So I think a bit more focused, but also, as I said earlier, confident and proud. I want us to be an organisation which is energetically making a difference for farmers and processors, and I can see that vision is starting to become a bit sharper.
If you've got any comments about this podcast or ideas for future episodes, AHDB wants to hear from you. You can email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk. AHDB really do want your feedback. My thanks to Tim Rycroft. This podcast was produced by Kate Smith. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.
Spring 2022 is your opportunity to vote to have your say about the future direction of AHDB. For more information, you can email shapethefuture@ahdb.org.uk or visit the AHDB website, ahdb.org.uk.